Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm tired a little bit. I've been waking up at 6 a.m. this morning for some reason. And when I wake up at this time, I'm often unable to sleep back. So I'm due to sleep now. The day has been long, but I'm good. We can do a short show. Pineapple Platypotamus says the show goes on. Oh yeah, and tonight there will be an interview with the Full House podcast. That's in 3 hours from now, but it won't be live, they're telling me, so you won't have access to the interview until tomorrow, I guess, or later this week. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Sprocket has sent a super chat saying, what problems could arise from having 105 biological surrogate babies? And he sends this article: Russian woman 24 who welcomed 21 surrogate babies in just over a year with millionaire husband 57 insists she's still a hands-on mom despite spending $100,000 on 16 nannies. Okay, that is taken to an extreme, surrogacy taken to an extreme. Well, you tell me, what are the biological problems that could arise from doing that much? The problem is the same as having one, which is you are not pairing anymore the genes of the parent with the genes of the children in terms of parental care. So basically, it's a set of parental genes are being cucked to care for another set of children genes that are not copies of themselves. And what this leads to is there is no more biological pressure for good parenting. Once you are in a society that would do that only, there would be zero push toward having better parents. And basically, children would evolve to be more on their own, but also perhaps less educated and less transmission across generations. So that's basically what we've done. Forget about the surrogacy aspect of it. That's basically what public school has been doing. It has been severing, as Tim Pool likes to phrase it, it has been severing the relationship between the parent and the child. And so let us not be surprised that after a couple of decades of public school practices, eventually it converged to, oh yeah, we also want to change the sex of your children without you knowing, because this is all public school is about. It's all school is about, really. It's a delegation of the power of the teacher, of the power of the transmission of knowledge, and there can be exploiters showing up in this evolutionary relationship. Define says, I mean, 13 nannies I could see, but 16? Yeah, I mean, we're talking about levels of wealth, I guess, that leads to that kind of extravagancy. There's not much to comment on this. All right, if you would like to support the show, my favorite platform for super chats is Odyssey, so feel free to use the support button tonight if you would like to send a hyper chat, or you can use alternatively the Entropy link, which is just below the video. And our survey on Entropy tonight is, have you ever heard about the Full House Uncensored podcast? There's one member of the audience that wanted me to appear on there, so I contacted them and they've accepted. I'll be doing the interview offline tonight, after the show. I wanted to talk about this California infanticide bill. So this was sent to me by chat, I believe, a couple of days ago. There was this new law that basically deresponsibilizes females so much that basically they could not possibly commit a crime if it was around birth or around pregnancy. And people have been rightfully pointing out that in its original writing, in its original way in which it was presented, effectively the bill would make it possible for a mother to kill her child as long as it's perinatal, as long as it's somewhere around the pregnancy. And this was not super well defined, but definitely there was worries there, because it was It was absolving of any criminal or civil responsibility, nonobstant other laws. So basically, you could not be found guilty of murder, you could not be found guilty of anything under this law that relates to your pregnancy and relates to the perinatal moment. So effectively, a mother could have just killed her newborn child and she would have been okay in California. Now, this has been debunked by the supposed fact-checkers, among others, Reuters, who say this is not the goal of the bill. We don't care if it's the goal of the bill. We care about the written letter of the law. And there will be cases that will seek advantage of this law to protect women unjustly. So I think that the fact check was very poor, and it was documented by Tim Pool today in his videos. But then they, as if the system was kind of recognizing that our worries were legitimate, they changed the wording of the bill. So it's you can't argue that we're crazy, and that on the other hand, the wording of the bills need to be changed so that mothers can't kill their newborn. Here's the problem: the changes are not enough, as I describe it on my Gab post. The California bill that was initially criticized for allowing the murder of newly born infants by their mother has now been amended, supposedly to clarify that this is not an infanticide bill. However, the amendment is insufficient. So here's the new text. Notwithstanding any other law, a person shall not be subject to civil or criminal liability or penalty or otherwise deprived of their rights under this article based on their actions or omissions with respect to their pregnancy or actual, potential, or alleged pregnancy outcome, including miscarriage, stillbirth or abortion, or perinatal death due to a pregnancy-related cause. And this is... oops, I didn't want to click on this. This is... due to a pregnancy-related clause, this is the big change they've done. They've also added on of their rights under this article, but this has no effect on the problem. But this addition here, due to a pregnancy-related cause, is supposed to make this bill no more an infanticide bill. But I would argue that it doesn't. Here's the problem. They think that they've just specified what perinatal death is meant to be, and they say we really just mean health conditions related to the pregnancy. But here's the problem. A pregnancy-related cause may include anything that the woman feels as a consequence of the pregnancy. So as I point out in my post, if a woman comes and says, the pregnancy caused me to go crazy. The pregnancy got me exhausted, and so I killed my baby when I saw it. That would be a valid defense, because then she would be establishing that the pregnancy caused her crime. And so what the bill ends up saying is, if the pregnancy caused your crime, if the perinatal death has occurred due to a pregnancy-related cause, so let's say the pregnancy has exhausted the woman, then you are not subject to civil or criminal liability or penalty. So even with that change, we are still in a bill that would allow women to commit murder as long as it's perinatal. At some point, you have to believe that they must be intentionally doing these things, because they've been asked to fix it. They claim that they've fixed it, but they didn't fix it. As I point out in my Gab, I guess there's progress, though. Only pregnancy-related infanticides are allowed now, as opposed to all infanticides. In a way, they have restricted the number of reasons that a woman could invoke to protect herself from criminal liability. It's definitely not enough, though, because any woman could say, this was caused by my pregnancy. I was driven crazy by my pregnancy, and I felt that I had to commit this murder. So you have all these debunking, Reuters, fact check, California reproductive health bill leads to misinterpretation online. No, it's still the correct interpretation. It's still the letter of the law that there will be no criminal liability, no civil liability for women and what they do related to their pregnancy. The entire island of Puerto Rico is currently without power. Multiple reports say the entire island of Puerto Rico is currently without power due to a critical fault. There are reports of an issue with a power plant and fires at two substations. Well. It seems that the electrical stuff caught fire in Puerto Rico. What is Puerto Rico? Is it part of the US? Is there's a bizarre status to it. I don't know. Maybe people in the chat can inform me. Is it it's not a state, but it's a protectorate of the US or some kind? Firestarter says, what is the reason for California making the perinatal murder bill? The reason is this obsession that, and it's really something that they feel deeply, that women cannot cause harm, and that something that would be a crime in all situations, if a woman does it, and especially if it relates to her reproductive rights, a reproductive life, it is not a crime. It's ultimately the big double standard in the head of the Democrats, that women can do no wrong, and that when they have done wrong, it is not because of them, it is because of men, ultimately, and the systems of oppression around them. So what they want to do is fully protect women from any sort of responsibility, just because it relates to reproduction. When look at it on the other side, on the side of males, you'll never have these leftists argue that somehow what a male does with relation to a pregnant woman somehow should be absolved of criminal responsibility because, hey, it's about reproductive rights, right? No, it's they want to center around the woman, make her impossible to sue, impossible to influence, impossible to do anything, because they think that ultimately a woman can have no sin. That is what this perinatal murder bill now is about. Now, if you check my thumbnail, you will see the politician in California who's pushing for this bill. And she's one of those obsessed feminists who, she brags about being a mother. You'll see her with her own child in her political committee because she wanted to show just how hard it is to combine family and work. And so she's been involved in displaying feminist attitudes and pushing the role of the non-sinful mother, the mother who cannot commit sins. She's been doing it before. Some random bloke sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, what is your stand on abortion? Are you pro-life? People like Jared Taylor want abortion. Okay, because it has consequences on other people. Okay. Well, I think I don't feel super strongly about abortion. I have a couple of positions. First, this whole idea that you're going to stop other people with abortion, I don't like it that much because it also, the simple fact that the option is there, it creates a context of society that is kind of culturally permissive away from reproduction. You're basically saying, just the fact that the option is there, you're saying to the entire world, including your own people, it's legitimate to want to kill children that are about to be born. i.e., the most important thing in life is not life. The most important thing in life is not reproduction. And just having that cultural signal to me, even if then you compute the numbers and it's to the advantage of this group and the disadvantage of this group. The thing is, the facts about the statistics of who commits an abortion, these facts will vary in waves across time. And it won't be stable. It will advantage certain groups at certain points, and then there will be corrective evolutionary mechanism birthing and changing that state of affair. So that argument only holds in a specific society where it just so happens that a certain group uses it more or less. So I wouldn't go with this argument. I would go more with the societal context that it creates around expectations, around the importance of life. And it shows a disrespect to life. When you allow abortion at whatever number of weeks, you are saying life doesn't matter that much. Human life doesn't matter that much. And reproduction is not the most important thing in your life and in the society's life. So that's one thing. Secondly, no matter how much abortion you allow, there is no system in which there is no deprivation of right for the father. Even if you were to say, oh, what JF, what about a law that would demand the consent of the father? There will still be opportunities, especially when the father is not known. There will be opportunities for a woman to eradicate a life that belongs only half to her and half to the father. So, to me, abortion, there is simply no practical solution that doesn't impede on father's rights. And therefore, I am against it. Thirdly, consent to sex is consent to pregnancy. There is no other function than to sex. Than reproduction, just like there is no other function to anything we do than reproduction. We eat to stay alive so that we can reproduce. We care about our children so that they can reproduce. Everything we do is all geometrically aligned to helping the next generation and allowing a next generation of our genes. So, because of this, and because sex is the biological function that has evolved to handle specifically the mixing of genes into an offspring, consenting to sex, it's like saying, it's like breathing. If you breathe, you consent to absorbing the oxygen of the outside world inside your lungs. If you let your heart beat, you consent to blood flowing across your body. If you let your feet move you consent to being wherever your feet brings you. If you consent to grab something with your fingers, you consent to the accomplished function of your finger, which is grasping something. If you consent to sex, you consent to the biological part of you that is designed and meant and functions as reproduction. And so consenting to sex to me is consenting to having a baby. Consenting to sex with a condom is consenting to the risk that the condom will break and that you'll have a baby. There are other scenarios in the law where once you have consented to something, what happens after is on your fault and you have to carry certain obligations. For example, if you consent to drink alcohol, you will have to retain yourself from driving. And the law doesn't have to allow you a fix. To get out of a situation. Like, for example, if you've taken alcohol, but you may be unable to drive for 12, 14, 16 hours. The law doesn't have to offer you an easy way to get the alcohol out of your body so that you can drive within 30 minutes. And just in the same way, the law doesn't have to allow you an out of a biological situation in which you engaged in the reproductive act and you're unhappy that you're about to be reproduced. That's how I see it, and that's my answer to the abortion question. Cyborg Fish says on Entropy, JF, I have so many things that I want to do, but I work 12-hour shifts, and when I get home, I have zero energy. How do you maintain high energy, and what would you recommend I do? Also, how many hours should I sleep? Those are important aspects, because it's the situation of most people. And the answer is, if you are grinding like this, I don't know, 12-hour shifts, are you doing them 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 5 times a week? If the answer is any high number of days per week, then you will not have energy and time to do anything else. So that may be a problem or it may not be, but please understand that this is life. You are giving away your life for work. And the question is, will they pay you back enough so that you can protect a space of enjoyment and family life for yourself? And in many jobs, it's not the case. There are many jobs where they will give you 40 hours a week, but they will pay you so little that you really can't have a family life and you can't enjoy life and you can't do anything else than basically be drained from any amount of money you get just because you have to pay the car, the rent, the electricity, and then boom, there's nothing left. So there are different positions on this, on your situation. I've heard Coach Red Pill on this, for example, and I've heard Kevin O'Leary, the Shark Tank billionaire. And I think they have the same opinion. I don't have this opinion, probably because I'm much less wealthy than these guys, okay? But Coach Red Pill and Kevin O'Leary both say, in one way or another, they say, if you are working, if you are selling your time per hour, you are done. The system will drain you. And basically, their view is you will just keep afloat. The system is designed precisely so that human beings cannot get ahead, cannot get high on the scale of wealth by only working. Now, that's a view from very privileged people. Kevin O'Leary, has been running a big company of software for children learning, became a billionaire from it. Coach Red Pill, I don't know exactly how he became rich, but he's definitely, when I see that he has a chocolate shop where he goes to take chocolates and he has a smoking jacket, he goes to cigar lounges to smoke. He's living a lifestyle that tells me he's pretty rich. I don't know exactly how he got that rich. I don't do not have that kind of money. And so to me, working is a necessity. At many times in my life, it's been. And so I'm more like you. I'm more in your situation. So what, and he says it's 5 times a week, sometimes 6. So you're working 12 hours time 5 or 6 times a week. That is basically your entire life. So the only thing you have to make sure in this is that you're getting something good from it, something that will improve your situation down the line. So let me ask you, Cyborg Fish, since you are on Entropy, are you getting enough money from this crazy work time that you'll be able to buy a house? And are you currently planning to buy a house? Are you getting so much money that you can dream that eventually this won't be the case, that as you grow, you'll be able to free up some time in your life for love and reproduction and family and hobbies? Because I think there's no problem working as much as you do, as long as you're getting something from it. And that something must be some sort of future position in which you won't have to work as much. That way you can just grind through, just continue working that much because it's doable for 5 to 10 years. Cyborg Fish says, yes, I am saving a lot of money. I hope to buy a house in the next few years, but I'm not ready yet. Well, and what age are you? How old are you, Cyborg Fish? That's my last question to you to be able to fully guide you. Because if you're young, this is perfect. You're in the perfect scenario. It's totally fine because you'll be wasting an important part of your life. But the younger you are while you do this, the least important and the least critical it is that you engage in reproduction right now. If you're somewhere below 27, even perhaps below 30, I would say you still have a couple of years where you can grind through the way you describe, and that's perfectly fine. He says, I'm 22, I just wish I could enjoy life a little more while I'm grinding. Well, at 22, you're exactly at the right place. So imagine that he's 22, he's getting plenty of work, so much so that he can store money on the side, and this leads him to view a possibility of buying a house. You are in a perfect position. A lot of people would be envious because you know what? A lot of people probably even listening to this show right now, they are grinding like you, perhaps a little less, but they are probably very sad that they will make less money an hour than you do, and they can't see the moment at which they'll be able to buy a house. So just tell yourself, not everyone has demand for their labor. There are some people who are overtrained like me. I'm such a specialist and such an expert that there's no employer who can possibly need my theoretical skills. So there are people who lack labor simply because they're too specialized, too advanced. There are people who lack labor because they don't have the skills. And there are people who just they have skills and everything, but there's just too much competition in their domain. And so there's so much people willing to do the work, they end up having zero work. So you are in a perfect situation because you're at 22 and you're stacking interest in your life in the form of wealth that will allow you to have the power not to grind that way for all of your life. If I were you, I wouldn't change anything. I would just go through like a football, guy, just drive through and take the hits. It's totally feasible for still for 5 years for you. But you don't have to do it 5 years. I mean, if you really get tired of it, but at the kind of hours that you're talking to me about, you won't have a hobby life. So what I recommend is simply have a kind of hobby that is extremely efficient, like watching movies at your home from a laptop, something like this. Don't seek to have all these complex scheduling with groups of friends, and it's not going to work unless you do it on your one day off and sometimes. But most of the time, you're not going to have the energy or the time to do anything else. But that's okay because you're working on yourself to be fully prepared for a reproductive life 5 years down the line. So I say, you are in an enviable situation. Enjoy. Enjoy because not everyone has the luck to be able to dream to have a house. A lot of people are desperate and they know that for the rest of their life, they will just be either on social welfare or surviving in some small apartments, having nothing, no hope, nothing that will get better. Your life will get better. Your life will get better like as soon as you're done with this grinding part of it. So nothing to change. And fuck the hobbies, you know. It's not like you're going to do anything super innovative at 22-year-old. If you had hobbies, you'd be drinking and you'd be doing whatever, tourism and crap like this. It's not going to be important. All of it is fucking waste. You're doing something important. You're doing the needed work to accumulate wealth and be able to liberate yourself from economic dependency to rents and stuff of that kind. I wanted to do an Ask Me Anything tonight, but I decided to title around the news item, but there's lots of questions incoming, so let's do it. Cloud Warmer says, JF, after the Hungarian election results, the EU immediately moved to punish Hungarians for not making the right choice on their democratically elected officials. The masterpiece of hypocrisy, when EU itself says the unique feature of the EU is that the member states all remain sovereign. Stay well. Yes, I described this yesterday in the show as I saw this news item. It's fascinating, but there's so many examples of this. Whenever the system doesn't get what it wants through democracy, suddenly democracy is not valid anymore. Look at how, in the case of Joe Biden getting elected, look at how they went after anyone contesting the validity of the election. I mean, it became that you could not say on the internet, on YouTube, on Twitter, you could not say that the election was stolen. That's just how arch they will defend a victory. Don't attack our democratic institutions. But then they don't like the results of the DPR and LPR referendum. It was the Russians. They were voting at gunpoint. And then they don't like the Hungary result. We have to do an investigation to determine what happens. What happened to the whole discourse around our institutions? You cannot attack our institutions. What about the Hungarian democratic institution? Tuttle Grimm says, what are your thoughts on joining or buying into an off-grid community, leaving the system behind and living and working the land? I'm not an expert of this. You'd have to try this and tell me how it goes. My instincts drive me so much away from that kind of stuff that I know that I will never know. You'll have to test it because this is completely outside of my expertise. Here's the problem. I know how it what it boils down to as far as human beings go. Either you have power or someone else has power. And the idea of a commune and people sharing and equality, this doesn't exist. Ultimately, there can't be two penises in the same vagina. And that's what it boils down to. You're going to be in a commune, okay. There's going to be a girl. Who's going to fuck this girl? Well, okay, there's two guys. Okay, one of them is lazy and he's not working that hard in the field. And so, but he's spending more time fucking the girl. It doesn't work. And anyways, life is about, in terms of improving your life on this earth, in our societies, it's about accumulating property, property that is useful to your survival and life. If you're in these communes, you're accumulating basically no property. You have property in the form of things that are there and that you may use on an everyday basis, but they are not yours. They belong to the community. And eventually, if any conflict shows up in this community, then it's not yours anymore. So collective bargains of any kind. But I'm so radical. I mean, I can't even work in team. I can't start a company with two or three people. So that's just how hardcore I am. So I can't inform you on the validity of these communes, these farm communes, and stuff of that kind. Cyborg Fish, who I gave advice to, says, thanks for the advice, JF. Guess I will just keep slamming those coffees for a while. Maybe and I'll have to try those. Maybe I'll do a post-workout banana creatine smoothie. This was in response to Deadstar saying, maybe limit the caffeine and up the banana uptake. Creatine can also give tremendous resistance to mental fatigue. Oh yeah, if you have mental fatigue, I guess there are some nutrient changes you can do. I'm not an expert of those. You'd have to Google it. It seems to make sense that banana would help. They are filled with potassium, and at some times in my life, I found myself trying to boost my potassium levels with bananas. Although, you know, if I don't do it for a health reason, if I'm not looking specifically to get potassium, it's not in my instinct to just eat bananas. I really have to force myself because this kind of gooey texture is disgusting. It's not disgusting to the point that I have problems eating it, but I wouldn't eat it voluntarily, like out of nowhere. Spud Ruckus sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. JF, did you hold the same views about reproduction and male/female roles when you were educated, before you were educated in evolutionary biology? Thank you. Well, it's very hard to say because I've not been educated in evolutionary biology. I have self-taught evolutionary biology. Let's not forget that my entire academic parkour is in the domain of neuroscience. Although I ended up as a postdoc, I ended up in a lab that does both neuroscience and evolutionary work. But their evolutionary work is not evolutionary theory. It was really evolutionary analysis of genes of monkeys as part of a neuroscience investigation of monkeys. But that being said, so I learned about evolutionary biology on my own as a parallel hobby, basically, to my true academic parkour inside the university. And I've started learning about evolutionary theory when I was a kid. Sometimes between 8 and 10 years old, I read The Selfish Gene in French. So there's no time of my adult life at which I can say I was trained in evolutionary biology. It's always been a part of me because I did it as a child, because I was intellectually interested in it. Now, I guess you could ask, did my discovery of evolutionary biology change my perspective on male and female relationships? I wouldn't say that it did much. I wouldn't say that I've derived my view of male and female roles through biology or through theory. I think my views did change, but the way they change is the natural way, which is I started being all opened and, oh my God, women could do anything. And why aren't there women Albert Einstein? Why aren't there great women quantum physicists? So I started in a very leftist position, like everyone, probably because you're young and you're brainwashed. And most importantly, you don't have much sampling of the environment. But then eventually I got to meet women. I got to know women. And, you know, no offense, but I don't think they will ever be capable of great scientific realizations. I think they will always be limited in contributing significantly to certain domains like mathematics, physics, biology to a certain extent, although biology is such a dirty discipline that, you know, if you want to collect frogs, you can, and I guess we can call you a biologist. But, you know, major advances, I don't think it will happen. I think that women just have a very different functioning, and the search for truth is certainly not a major concern for them. Honorable discharge with serious misconduct for refusing the COVID vaccine. My last day is Friday. They are kicking me out. Andrew Rose published his portal of the army, and it's the U.S. Army, I guess. And he's He's getting kicked out. They wrote, misconduct, serious offense, not eligible for reinstatement without prior approval. So, misconduct, serious offense. That's it. He didn't take the vaccine, and this is considered misconduct. So they are starting to kick them out of the army. Judge finds men not guilty in first January 6 acquittal. That's very good news. Tim Pool was very happy about this news because he kind of predicted it. And the Young Turks laughed at him, and they laughed about his theory. His theory was to say, because a lot of these guys were invited in by the policeman who opened the door to them and smiled, they couldn't possibly know that they were trespassing. And that is totally a totally valid argument, and I'm happy that it survived in the court, because that's how it should be. Like, I cannot trick you into committing a crime of trespass especially, because trespass relies on the person understanding that they are not welcome on a given land. And when you're talking about public buildings, it's a big question whether, without a explicit warning, without a policeman saying, sir, you are trespassing, I inform you that you are trespassing, there basically cannot be a suit of trespass, unless that person would have gone into a secured area and that there would be large signs saying, don't enter, this is secure, not for you. So, incompatibility with the law, the judge found the guy non-guilty because he didn't get a jury trial, he got a judge trial, and he made the case, look, the policeman has welcomed me into the Capitol, so I thought I was welcome. He's right. Over 150 suspicious Hunter or James Biden financial transactions flagged by banks. Newly obtained banking records reveal that more than 150 financial transactions involving either Hunter or James Biden's global business affairs were flagged by banks as concerning, and given further review, some of which included large wire transfers. Well, it's interesting. CBS News has learned that these transactions existed. Of course, we know that the money has been circulating in this family in some dirty ways. So hopefully something comes out of this investigation. 10 for the big guy. This 10, whatever it was, 10,000, 10 million. This 10 whatever must have come somewhere and must have shifted into the hands ultimately that would be close enough to Joe Biden that he would control it. UN suspends Russia from human rights body as Ukraine continues to deal with toll of war. On Thursday, the United Nations General Assembly voted to suspend Russia from the UN Human Rights Council with 93 votes for suspension, 24 against, and 58 countries abstaining. The apparent execution-style killings of civilians in Bucha, a suburb of Ukraine's capital Kyiv, pushed the momentum around the bid to eject Russia. This is not super important. It's an inconsequential body, and that's basically just, I think, the UN creating the reality. It's like saying, okay, now we can quote, historically this happened. We have kicked Russia out of the Human Rights Council. And it's basically a kind of beginning of what we've seen for the last week, which is accuse Russia of war crimes. And it's with the goal of tarnishing their reputation, of weakening their reputation going forward. But it has no technical consequences. As long as Russia is on the Security Council, and the Security Council, I haven't read the details today, but I'm pretty sure they cannot be kicked of it. I'm pretty sure the member states of the Security Council cannot be kicked out by the other states who are not in the Security Council. I'm pretty sure basically that if they want to kick Russia from it, they have to dissolve the UN and start, say, let's call it UN2. Pseudolus says it is permanent. Yeah, that was my impression. Yeah, permanent is the right term. That's how they call it. After China threatens forceful measures over Taiwan visit, Pelosi suddenly tests positive for COVID, postponing trip. Pelosi wanted to go to Taiwan, and China threatened forceful measures. Wait a minute, China, I'm interested in these forceful measures. Does it involve missiles being sent on the convoy? How does that work? And does Nancy Pelosi come back to America after it? Or is she gone from America forever? That would have been an interesting thing to see Nancy Pelosi like display some bravado against China. But they have threatened forceful measures and she has postponed her trip. Suddenly she got COVID. How amazing of a of an excuse is that? Bloody hell, this Ukrainian video needs to be seen by everyone. When I see these emotional tweets, it's like, okay, I expect, just look at the text. Bloody hell, it's like, oh, this must be something amazing. This Ukrainian video needs to be seen by everyone. Already, I can know what it's going to be about without watching it. There's going to be emotion, it's going to be feminine, and it's going to be pro-Ukraine, and it will appeal to some sort of emotional view of the war and try to basically recruit the viewer into siding with Ukraine. Woman using gas. You don't pay in euros or ruble for Russian energy. Ah, this is what it is. Woman is gassing her car, but as she does it, she's gassing human beings. It's like, it's a Holocaust happening at the pump. Okay, and so you pay the you pay in the lives of the same Europeans as you. Oh my God, suddenly we are European. Suddenly, I am being presented here with the, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing. This is the work of my life. I worked all my life to see this. So suddenly, I am being told, Jeff, basically, you're white, and the people who are dying are white. Please, please do something, Jeff. They're the same color as you. Suddenly, ethno-nationalism is back in the groove. You pay in the lives of the same Europeans as you. Wow, and it's more than ethno-nationalism. It's pan-Europeanism. It's like the Ukrainian whites are the same as the Western European whites. They're basically dog whistling to me in a pro-Ukraine ad. They are dog whistling to me. Yeah, Spindly Opinion says it properly. It's White Boy Summer. That is the song that the son of Tom Hanks had pulled. They are basically trying to whistle to us. Please feel some kind of unity with us. Well, okay. But it's bizarre that it comes then, because it seemed that racial talk of that kind was basically banned in the US and banned in Canada, and you guys have basically shut down anyone who was appealing to that kind of racial unity. And suddenly racial unity is a thing now that it plays in your favor. European Union calls for a ban on Russian oil, coal, and gas imports. This may seem like a big news. However, I don't know if it's consequential. Because technically, the European Union is not the one importing these things. So basically, when they vote for this, it's non-binding. It then belongs to each of the countries to decide if they will ban all these imports. So we have to wait to see if the countries will follow up. But my guess is that Germany is not in the mood to cut all imports. So they could cut something like coal, maybe, or something like small things, but they're not going to ban gas as a whole. That would be a surprise, but maybe they're going to get there if they really want to do moral displays and they're at the point where it's the only thing left. Perhaps they will do it. Little Bear says, oh, what is this? Oh, yeah, the WHO, the World Health Organization, reported by Insider Paper on Twitter. The World Health Organization calls for access to Mariupol. So the humanitarian situation of Mariupol continues. Well, it's a city under siege, and it's a city completely destroyed. So the people there have been stuck there for a while, and without electricity, without food, without much things. But then you refuse to surrender, you refuse to exit through the humanitarian corridors. So basically, you're an enemy fighter in the streets trying to defend a city that you won't be able to defend. And, oh yes, people have been publishing this video. This video makes it very hard to, you know, how leftists would want you to, would want to say, look, there are no Ukrainian neo-Nazis. People were having fun with this video on Twitter, where they apparently are all yelling glory to Ukraine, and they're kind of making Roman salutes while chanting glory to Ukraine. It's gonna be harder and harder for these guys to make the argument that they are not neo-Nazis. But there are still some people trying to make it. NYT's top editor orders reporters to meaningfully reduce Twitter usage as Musk joins company's board. Just days after Elon Musk, a self-described free speech absolutist, unveiled a 9.2% stake in Twitter and was rewarded with a seat on the company's board, eliciting cheers from Republicans and conservatives who have long seen their speech suppressed on the platform, the NYT's executive director has reportedly ordered the paper's army of reporters, many of whom are among the platform's most closely followed journalists, to reduce the amount of time they spend tweeting. If you do choose to stay on, we encourage you to meaningfully reduce how much time you're spending on the platform, tweeting or scrolling in relation to other parts of your job. Wow, Twitter getting dropped under the bus by the class of journalists that they have checked mark in blue, that they have done everything to advantage those journalists on the platform. Now they don't like it anymore. I mean, at the end, Twitter will end up either fixing the way it interacts with the people, or it will get dropped by everyone. Eventually, everyone will get tired. Now the leftists are getting tired because, oh, Elon Musk is there now. Basically, we can't live together. That is the conclusion of the Twitter experiment. The technology exists for everyone to be at the exact same place and to all voice in a public discussion that includes the entire world. But it's the human beings. The problem is not the technology. the human beings are unable to injure each other. And so it's better to have separate platforms for right wingers and left wingers. Of course, it will lead to circle jerking. But the fact is that the left winger just cannot tolerate their cognition. They just go insane when they are exposed to traditionalist or right wing viewpoints. That's what happened basically between 2016 and 2020 on the internet. It's like the discovery by leftists that there are other views than their own. Pineapple Platypotamus says, this show has already done more good than Twitter ever did. Did I? It's true that I've been standing throughout my career. I've been standing for an open conversation. In a way, the conversation that I've opened, although I don't have guests very often anymore, but in a way, I've opened a wider conversation than Twitter ever did. You're right. And that's the difference between my approach and Twitter's. Twitter is basically formulating a mob of conformity. And you end up having everyone parasitizing the platform to all be the best leftists and the more woke. And in the end, it ends up being extremely repetitive content. Parents are not going to put up with this nonsense. Moms for Liberty vows to boycott Disney as the battle between the Walt Disney Co. and Florida rages on. The co-founders of Moms for Liberty are calling for a boycott, saying Disney has severely underestimated Florida parents. Well, that is a good development. I hope that people follow up on this, because yeah, let's punish Disney until they explicitly step back on their LGBT propaganda. Let's punish them until they have to go out and do a press release that says, you know what, we were wrong. There is such a thing as the importance of reproduction. And it is subversive to attack the right of parents to influence their kids toward the reproductive lifestyle. I want to see this press release by Disney, or I'm not going to Disney ever. I mean, it's not super hard for me to do that, because I'm probably never going to go to Disney anymore anyway. But if the parents of Florida do this, it will be beautiful. My parents went to Disney, I believe. I believe that they traveled to Florida for their marriage trip. How do you call it? The night? How? What's the word for it in English? The night of the marriage, you know? Anyways, there's a word for it. But yeah, I think they went to Walt Disney. When they got married, they didn't have me yet. They didn't have children. Honeymoon. That is the word. Honeymoon. I believe I've always found this bizarre, to go to Disney as adults. But I think it was must have been at the beginning of the 80s or the end of the 70s, and they went as tourists just to see. Yeah, I mean, people are talking about JF Conception Night. I mean, I could. The sperm that produced me may have met the egg right at Disney. Isn't it fascinating when you see how this company became that? Basically, I'm pro-reproduction, and the act that led to my existence may have happened right there at Disney. So Disney is capable of leading to the production of children. They just don't want it anymore. They're just now combating it. But they used to be a place where Quebecois people could go and reproduce and lead to mini JFs, and that was wonderful. Mama JF says, yeah, but even if you don't go there, Disney will go into your child's minds. Yes, that is true. That is true, but yeah, I mean, You know, there was a time where Disney wasn't so bad. The initial Pixar videos, like Toy Story, wasn't particularly woke, if I remember correctly. But you're right, the current Disney, you don't want to have children watching it. There's so much brainwashing happening. I've been commenting a lot on this. I've been doing a full review of Inside Out. That was some kind of extreme leftist propaganda. The whole idea of being inside the brain of a woman, how fucked up is that? But yeah, we just have to avoid letting Disney into the brains of children. Deadstar is on Entropy. He says, does identifying as neo-Nazi in Ukraine mean anything more than rejection of international finance and loyalty to one's own ethnic group? Well, the form of neo-Nazism that we're talking about in Ukraine is very special because it is rooted in the adoration of Stefan Bandera, who was basically an actual Nazi. Who, I don't know enough of his history to make you a little caption of him, but basically he was networking between Germany and Ukraine. And it's also a form of neo-Nazism that is very much anti-Russian, because you have to understand that from the perspective of the West, when we talk of neo-Nazism in our society, we think racism first. But let us not forget that there were many components to Nazism, one of which was that Nazism was ultimately an enemy and a conqueror, an alternative conqueror to lands as opposed to the Soviet Empire. And so the Nazis have been put in trouble and have eventually lost in combat against the Soviet Empire. So if you remove your Western view of Nazis must be about international finance and race, and you adopt the view that from the perspective of the middle lands of Europe, like Germany to a certain extent, but like today mostly Ukraine, from the perspective of these middle countries, they were torn apart between the Western empires and the Eastern empires. And so neo-Nazism, when it expresses itself there, is mostly a kind of nationalist pride in the sovereignty of the land as opposed to Russian domination. I guess that if I was to summarize my understanding of neo-Nazism in Ukraine, it mostly revolves around this. And specifically, the Azov Battalion has been used as an entity to resist basically Russian influences and control over areas in the south and southeast, which is why Zelensky ended up shaking hands with these neo-Nazis. It's because they were an extreme group capable of doing things on the ground, intimidating on the ground. And basically, do things that perhaps the official Ukrainian army may not have wanted to do or could not have done. I was reading about the movement today, and I learned that one of the fascinating exception, because the Azov Battalion has been integrated to the Ukrainian forces, but it's not an official. They are officially, but they have a special status. See, they're not integrated like they didn't became regular army personnel. And one of the features that distinguishes them from the rest of the Ukrainian army is that they can choose who gets in. So the Zelensky has no control over who becomes a warrior in the Azov Battalion. It is determined by the Azov Battalion itself because it's an independent entity. And so you end up having people, lots of people apply to the Azov Battalion to be accepted in. And it's the Azov Battalion that has the right to determine determine if you get in. Crazy Catman says he wasn't a Nazi, he was a criminal, he was ready to be left in jail in Germany, so the Nazis released him in the East to cause trouble for them. Look deeper into his history, he was just a psychopath. All of these details is exactly why I didn't want to start stating things about Bandera, because I just don't know enough about all this. But basically, I didn't mean to say anything else than Bandera was carrying or pushing some form of Nazi views. I've read some stuff that says he was an agent of the CIA, or no, he was an agent of the Nazis. I don't care about these details. I don't know enough about them to comment. But he was kind of pushing certain Nazi ideas. That's all I'm saying. Pseudolus says, Bandera was more anti-Polish than anti-Semitic. Poland at the time was in a civil war with communist revolutionaries. Very interesting. So he may have been a root of the form of Nazism that we have in Ukraine. All right, guys, I said at the beginning of the show I was tired, so I have to go relax a little bit because I have another interview and I'd like to close my eyes a few minutes or an hour before I get to that interview. So I'm going to end the show tonight. Ever heard about the Full House Uncensored podcast? No one has ever heard about it. Me neither, but one audience member wanted me to appear there, so I'll be doing my interview in 2 hours from now there, and they'll be publishing it, I don't know when, and I'll be sharing the link on my social media. If you like JFG Tonight, don't forget to join our Patreon or Subscribestar to provide support for the show on a monthly basis. That being said, much love, and let's see. What do we have on the schedule? We have nothing, so we'll be doing solo shows. I'm not done reading through Frank Salter. I think this should be my next priority, to finish this damn long book, because someone wanted me to do a review of it, and yes, I agree, I should do one. It's a very good book. So I'm going to try to get this done for next week, and hopefully we can have a full analysis of Frank Salter and his theory of ethnic kinship. That's it, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.